So my name is Elijah Stanley. I'm here interviewing my grandpa, Glenn Stanley, and this is a continuation to the interview that we had done before that was unexpectedly cut off. So when we stopped, we were talking about how being a parent had changed his life and how his mom and dad had actually ended up getting back together towards the ends of their lives when he was in the Air Force.
Yeah. And what I started to say was it dawned on me after Debbie was born, I was out here alone. Back in those days, you know, I could afford to call back maybe twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, we wrote letters, but very little interaction with my family back there. But it dawned on me that I was the foundation of my family out here.
Oh, yeah.
And probably my education, my spiritual life, my moral life, and everything would be set by my standards that I had.
Mm-hmm.
On there. And I remember in English, I wish I still had that paper, but I remember writing the paper on that and pretty detailed out. Anyway, the professor was really, really interested in it. But so I planned, and I've always been one to think and like and plan my life.
Mm-hmm.
And Beth, that's one thing that was my life. It's my spiritual life has been my relationship with God has been very important to me. And Beth and I had that same desire on there. But so my role as a father and as a husband, I took it very seriously and enjoyed it. It comes with a responsibility. And I think so often people, they don't have plans. Well, you know, this hit and miss as a father and as a husband, and it's something you need to, your whole life's going to be spent with it.
Yeah.
So how are you going to do it?
And then going back to when your twin boys, how did you end up deciding on their names?
I think Beth and I maybe both have a little different idea, but they kept being identical twins. They kept that, Beth and I kept that little armband on for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't want to get them mixed up, you know. We didn't really know which was which before. But I remember I like the name Greg and Grant both. They just seem like strong names.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gregory Dean. My dad had one brother named Dean, my Uncle Dean. And that's interesting because Uncle Dean, my grandfather Fred was probably 5'3", 5'4", and Uncle Dean was probably around 5'8", which was
tall.
But so I told her I'd like to have the middle name Dean, and then my dad's only brother, my Uncle Francis, his middle name was Eugene.
Oh, okay.
So that's where we get Grant Eugene in there. And then, I tell you, it took, like I say, I think it was at least a month or month and a half that we left those armbands on.
Oh, yeah. I bet it'd be tough with them being identical.
Yeah, and there was just something about it. We didn't, one of them was Greg and one of them was Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't want to cheat them out of being who they were by us not recognizing.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And then the day, or what did you end up doing for a career once all the kids, or one of the kids were growing up, or when did you start working at Weiss McNair pretty much?
When I, as I said, when I was going to college, I had my own business. Of course, I was getting money in the GI Bill, and then I was working 8 hours a day besides on cleaning auto upholstery for car dealers.
Mm-hmm.
The upholstery then was a lot different than it is now, a little more household. The headliners overhead was fabric and all that. And it was, not many people knew how to do it.
Yeah.
Right. So I did that, so I knew all the car dealers. And I used to go around and I'd see the car salesman sitting there drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes. I thought, gotta be the most depressing job a man could have.
Yeah.
But, so when the twins were born, and I thought, there's no way I can keep you know, going to working and going to school too. So I quit school. The semester ended that day, and then I went to work. Best brother Bill was a sales manager for a construction company.
Oh, okay.
So I went to work for a year selling, and we had this like 20 different plans. If people had their land paid for, we get 100% financing.
Oh, okay.
And build a house. So fine, things went fine the first 3 months. Then lending, everything was overbuilt. There was too much in the market. And no longer, I mean, you had to have about 50% of the cost. So I worked in construction with some people that I knew off and on, whatever I could get a job and make some money. And then Bill and Joanne, best brother and sister-in-law, and Beth and I bought 30 acres out in Stilson Canyon, built a home there, but things were getting tight and I had to have work. There was not much work around then in 1963, 64. So I thought, well, the thing about selling the cars, you were straight commission.
Mm-hmm.
The harder you worked, the more you would make. So I went to work at one of the dealers, Chevrolet, and I knew the manager real well. He says, Glenn, I'm going to give you a chance, but said, I don't know if you can do it because you're too quiet, but I'm going to give you a chance. So I sold cars for 10 years. I was the top salesman the second month I was there. I was salesman of the year for all 10 months, or all 10 years that I worked there. And I was salesman of the month for at least 10 months out of each year on there.
Jeez.
And it was, the owner had everybody take a test after I'd been there for 3 years. And my test results come back. The owner called the sales manager in, said, look at Glenn's results. And the results said, as we understand the requirements for a car salesman, this person has none of those qualifications.
Yeah.
So the sales manager laughed and said, he's our top salesman. He's the one making you the most money because he's selling the most cars.
Yeah.
And anyway, then the owner called me in, wanted to know what I thought of that. I said, the greatest compliment you could ever get. I never wanted to be a car salesman. I used to hate to tell people I was a car salesman. But I was very successful at it because I worked at it.
Mm.
And he says, well, if you don't have any of those qualifications, how come you're the top salesman? I said, it's simple. I said, I'm not here to sell cars. You're not here to sell cars. What the hell are you here for? I'm here to help people buy cars. And that's the difference. And the people detected that.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, I did that for 10 years. And then they got a sales manager in there that was expected me to do things that weren't right. And I quit. And a friend of mine, Gary Weiss, who I went to church with, had started building farm machinery to sweep Ammons.
Mm-hmm.
So he called me up one day and wanted me to go to work for him. I said, doing what? He said, managing. I didn't know anything about welding or anything else. But anyway, I went to work for him a year later. He sold the company out and I became general manager. And it was a natural. My design, I could look at a machine. In the first year, I took 50% of the labor out of the building that machine. And it just grew from there. I was able to acquire one of the other companies and build it up to be probably the largest manufacturer of nut harvesting equipment in the world.
Yeah. And you were president, you ended up being president,
I was president and general manager for, I don't know, about 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just some couple closing questions. The one is, do you have any regrets?
I have no regrets.
Yeah.
I really don't. I'm thankful to the Lord, to me.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a big thing, selling cars. I went in at 8 o'clock in the morning, got off at 2. And that a lot of times after that 2 o'clock, I had appointments or I'd, you know, round up prospects. The next day, I didn't have to go in until 2. Mm-hmm. That was a sales meeting. But that allowed me to, I was on the governing board of Neighborhood Church, and that allowed me to do really big things, time-wise, that I wouldn't have had.
Yeah.
The other big thing that it did is until the Greg and Grant got to be, started school, and Judy too, is it gave me every other morning with my kids.
Oh, nice.
And every other afternoon.
Yeah.
So I just spent a lot of good quality time with my kids when they were young.
Oh, that's good.
And a lot of quality time serving Jesus, mm-hmm, with the things that I did. But so I even talked to Greg and Grant. They said, yeah, Dad, we kind of hated to tell people that our dad was a car salesman. But they also knew that I was a top car salesman, one of the top in Northern California.
Yeah.
So I don't regret anything that I did. I'm glad of... Beth and I have had 62 years of good marriage, mm-hmm, and blessed with 11 grandchildren, and I don't know how many great-grandchildren.
Well, yeah, you're having 7 great-grandchildren just this year. That's crazy.
So we have...
do you have any wisdom to pass down? Just as you're closing for your great-grandchildren or your great-great-grandchildren?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that I've been successful at in my life, personal life and in work, is I've always taken time to thought, and I've always asked myself, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Am I who I wanted to be? Instead of bang, bang, bounce off here and bounce there, and whatever comes. I've had a plan for my life of who I wanted to be and what I wanted to be. So I ask myself, who am I? Am I who I want to be? And how did I get here? Where have I been and how did I get here?
Mm-hmm.
And thinking of the good and the bad, of what people influenced my life, what people were a discouragement to me, and all these things. And if you think about that, how did you get your goal to be who you want to be? And then you get older, then it's, who am I? Am I who I wanted to be? And I'm retired, where am I going and how am I going to get there?
Yeah.
So just even with your marriage or with your relationship with your kids, I think you take time to plan, what do you want in life and how are you going to go and get it?
Just to set goals and
figure
out a plan how to achieve it.
I've always told my children, who's the richest, the billionaire that got everything but he wants more and more and more, or the man that maybe just he and his family lives in a tent alongside of a creek. They have nothing but they're completely satisfied with what they got.
Mm-hmm.
So the material things is good as long as it isn't your only goal in life and your God. You work for things, things that... That's in another room.
Oh, it's fine.
So, that's...
That's some good wisdom.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you taking your time out, Grandpa.
Yeah.
I love you and thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for choosing me for the interview.
No problem.
Yeah.
All right.